thankful that the need for that cane kind of comes and goes, and I'm to that stage again, and I remember from last time, and so I'm sure thankful that the healing process continues, and Kathy's doing well also, went to physical therapy, and her arm is doing much better, I believe. Please continue to pray for this portion of the service, the preaching. In what I have on my mind this morning, I'm gonna take just a step back, come back through some area quickly, and then land where I would like to land. And there are three specific places in the Old Testament, examples of what I have on my mind that I want to go to, and yet one of those times where I'm not sure exactly where those are going to apply. But I have faith that if it's of God, that He can bring that through from my feeble mind and my feeble tongue, and bless you with a message. First, I want to begin in Genesis chapter 6. There is recently, I preached on, tried to preach on the doctrine of original sin. That in our federal head, Adam, we all died in sin, and that passed upon all of mankind. So the original sin there in our nature is there. Now, in that then, and I believe I mentioned this in that sermon, that it's tied then through the doctrine of total depravity. So I'm going to go to I'm going to read this fifth verse of the sixth chapter of Genesis. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So the several words, descriptive terms in there that tells, well, how much evil and wickedness, how long does it last? No, it's continually, it's only evil, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. That's total depravity. There is a point, now I do not, and I mentioned this, I'm thankful that I don't remember when I was in this state, soul, spirit, body, this state of this total depravity, where there was not a part of me that did not love Jesus Christ. May not have understood it, known who He was, but I've always felt that love. I have a love for my brothers and sisters and of mankind and all, and that comes from God. We can feel that. We know when that comes from God. But there's a point where that original sin is upon us. Now, whether or not I was born again and washed of my sins vitally when I was still in my mother's womb, then I don't know. I don't know. It could have been after I was born. I just don't remember, and that's fine with me. I don't want to imagine that. We read, though, the state we were in, but yet it's hard for us to imagine that. Well, I never felt this way and all. But let me jump then to Psalms, the 10th chapter, 10th Psalm. Psalm 10, the fourth verse in that psalm, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. They're not in any of his thoughts. All of his thoughts, God is not in any of those. And will not seek after God. So there's not. I didn't have a little bit of just a little glimmer, a little spark of life or love within me that then I could choose, all right, yep, I choose Jesus Christ. That's the route I'm going to go. There was none. There's no thought of that in there. We're passive in that quickening. And so after reading those two verses and really just quickly, I just wanted to hit that original sin. We have the total depravity. We're totally depraved. And then I won't go there, but Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10, when we were quickened, passive in that, God did that vitally. We're made alive. We're brought out from that death. It was a death. It was not a slight illness or a serious illness. It was death. And we were in that. God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, gave us life. We were made alive. And so that's the state we're in now. And I try to remind you that I wouldn't want to be one of the preachers that just always talked about sin and total depravity and all of that, what we were, because that's in the past. Now, every now and then we have to talk about sin because we're still sinful creatures. And yet there's a part of us in that quickening that strive to do what God would have us do. That's what we desire. We want to be, we desire to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be a disciple, a learner, a follower, a pupil of Jesus Christ. That's what a true Christian, as they were called as an insult back here in as we read God's Word in the New Testament, the Christians. But that's what Christians should be. They should have the desire to be a disciple and not simply, okay, I know I love God. He saved me. He blessed me with that knowledge. And that's all I'm going to do with that. I'm just going to let that lay there. We should have a desire to follow him. Where I learned the most as a pupil, as a learner, a follower, a student of Jesus Christ, and that's in the church, under the sound of the gospel. When the minister was blessed to preach, every minister that I've listened to, I have not been blessed to derive a message from that man. Doesn't always happen. Whether the problem was with me, as I think fear most of the time it was, or with the man. Maybe it was the delivery. I just couldn't understand it or something. Or maybe it was over my head. But we have that desire in being a disciple. But in being a disciple, and that's what I'm going to talk about some, and some of the things we have to do as disciples to strive to be better followers, learners, but we need discipline. We need discipline in that. And one of the words, of course, we have in discipline to correct, but it's also to learn. It's to learn. So being a disciple, there's some, I know there is some restraint in talking about this subject that Brother Wayne that you brought up about is this that I'm doing, is this my will that I'm doing, or is it God's will? And we have to discern that. We have to try the spirits. We have to decide. And so often it's obvious. It's obvious which one it is. Now, granted, I'll remind you real quickly, and then I don't think I will need to from here on out. But after Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, none of this is all for here and now. This is nothing for our eternity. That's been done, taken care of. It's been given us. And he has shared us. That's one thing we've learned as a disciple, is we've learned that has been taken care of, this our salvation. Our being made alive. So we want this discipleship, but we need this discipline, and we need to be. We need to be aware through our path as God guides us in doing that, in questioning, is this God's will or my will? And do they coincide? It's great when they coincide. Yeah, I'm doing this. I feel right in doing it, you're blessed and you realize this was God's will. But also to be self-conscious, not in a negative way, to be worried about what everyone thinks and then self-conscious about everything, how I look and feel and how I act, but conscious of yourself. And I've got these three examples I'd like to go to of different levels of that, and then we'll move on and bring some other thoughts. First one is in Exodus, the 34th chapter, I believe. Exodus 34. Exodus chapter 34, down toward the end of that chapter. You all know this scene very well as Moses came down from the mount. This is verse 29. So it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And then Moses talked with them. He called unto them and he talked with them. So when Moses came down, his face, it shined. It shone. It was bright there. And he wist not that it shone. He didn't have a clue. He didn't know. He had just come down from being with God, being given the law, and he was not in his self-awareness, self-consciousness. He was not even aware that his look had changed. But the people saw it, and they were afraid to approach him. But he wasn't even aware of that. Now, when applying that, and I'll go to two more examples, vast differences in this. He didn't know, Moses didn't. When we do something, and I'm honestly speaking of myself in this. I've confessed before, you know, I love to get credit for stuff that I've done that happened by some miracle to work out. In a positive way, whether it's something physical, some situation. But you look back and you acknowledge God was in that. He's the reason that that worked out. He's the reason that that worked, certainly in dealing with things in the church. And that I would that every time I was in that situation where I was called upon to do something, I volunteered to do something, that I'm not even aware that now Moses, his face shone with the brightness being in the presence of God. But to offer a sacrificial service, in the service to God, and not care whether or not anyone knows about it. I think about doing something, and several different secular things come to mind, and I won't bring them as examples, but to step back and then make sure someone sees that or is aware of that little good deed you just did and all. But my human nature desires that. My spiritual nature wants to give God all the praise for that. And that's what we should do. Moses was unaware that his face shone. All he did was go down and do as God told him. He called the people and he spoke to them. He gave them the law. And God was in that. And so without caring and saying, well, I'm the one that was chosen by God to be given these tablets and this law. I'm the one that came back down. I'm the one that went up and saw that bush burning but not consumed and all. He was not even aware of that. Now, in Judges, the 16th chapter of Judges, Judges chapter 16, around the 19th verse. This is also another very familiar story here, truth in God's word. But Judges chapter 16, the 19th verse, I'm not going to read all this, but it's speaking of Delilah and Samson. So in the 19th verse, it's talking about Delilah. And she made him, Samson, sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. So he's asleep, and she says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And then the last sentence here in this 20th verse is, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So that word wist is used again. Moses, he wist not that his face shone, that he shone. He was shining. He didn't realize. But his mind was on something else. He was blessed in that the lack of self-consciousness there. Samson, he said, well, I'll go like I've done every time before. I'll take care of this. I will take care of this. I'll do this. I'll handle this. Me. He didn't see. He didn't understand. He didn't know. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And so we know how that turned out in that familiar scene there. But again, it's a constant to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow him, to learn from him, to be a learner, and to that we then we need that constant restraint, the correction, a correction in our lives of something, and the learning, being a follower, a learner, and a pupil of Jesus Christ, then, of which we have a desire. And I tell you what, the church, the true gospel church, the gospel itself is how we learn even more perfectly and maturely of these things. And then that learning helps us in the discipline to be a better disciple of Christ. And it's certainly in service of the church, but it is in following the Lord God Almighty, which is what He deserves. That song that Sister Debbie selected, "Cleanse Me," that whole song there, that prayer, that request there, to cleanse me now, and all those words of that poem. It's not saying that that's a prayer saying that I want now to be born again. I would not utter that prayer that she selected, that song, number 320. That is, cleanse me now as I walk a closer walk with God. That's what we need. Again, knowing that God blesses us in that more abundantly than when I don't. I'll say I. Then when I don't walk a closer walk with God, and even knowing that, I still veer off. And then in that discipline and the self-discipline, there is a correction. That is discipline. It's to a correction to, again, be that true disciple of Christ. Because whether or not we follow Christ, we're still saved by the blood of Christ. We've been justified by the blood of Christ. It's been applied to us, and we will be in heaven. But I pray that I will never become so at ease in my eternal salvation that in my timely salvation and in my discipleship that I think that. I think, well, I don't have to go. I worship God in my house in my own way. I know that He abides with me. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to present my body a living sacrifice. Then that's where we have to decide, oh, is this my will or is this God's will? We know which it is. And yet I have never felt a calling, thanks be to God, to just bear down hard on someone that I know is going through that I just described. My mom was better at offering. I always tell everyone she will offer you her opinion whether you ask for it or not, and she'd tell you. I pray, and we can pray for those. And it's not that I want, oh, here, let me count how many people is here. I just have a desire for people to come feel the presence of God Almighty in their lives. In offering that sacrificial service to Him, this being in this servitude to God, which is what He desires, what He would have of you to do, and then you're blessed for it. And we have to then we can contrast that with the times that we came to God's house, and for one reason or another, we left feeling worse than we did when we got there. That's not the way church should be. We should feel that a weight has been lifted off of us when we leave this place. We should feel relieved and edified, lifted up in knowing what God's done for us, in being given the opportunity and blessing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is such an honor. And to be called a minister, to preach the gospel, to encourage everyone else to do that is such an honor and a blessing, but only if God blesses it in whatever way. Whoever stands in this pulpit and preaches to you, he should cause you to honor your God more firmly than you did yesterday and last week because of what He's done for you. And to remind you, to cause you to try to envision that place where so many have already gone in soul and spirit to be with our Savior and Redeemer. To try to imagine that place where no sin exists, where you won't be distracted from following Him. We won't need to learn anymore when we're there. We will have learned everything. We will have learned it all because we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. To see Him in our glorified bodies and His. I long for that. But for now, since we have come out of that original sin, that total depravity, that depraved state, being made alive once again, then we have to decide what will we do with that. And that we are to constantly make corrections. Elder Hewlin Bass always equated it to, he was a pilot. He'd fly a plane. He said, you know, your compass or your trajectory, your gauges and stuff, it may not be off that much. But if that's off just slightly and you're trying to get over here, you're going to end up over here. You need to make corrections. You keep making those corrections in your lives. And God blesses us in that. And it's a miracle because he's overriding your spirit, your natural man, that outer man, to cause you to do that. Because it's easy enough not to. To not to do that. So Samson, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Went out. He was going to do that. He was going to take care of this. Now in 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Chapter, 1 Samuel, about the 15th verse. Says here, and Samuel said to Saul, so Samuel's speaking to Saul here, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Why are you bothering me? That's what he's saying here. And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. No pressure there. God's departed from me. He's not speaking to me anymore, either by prophets or by dreams. So he calls on Samuel, you tell me what to do. Yeah, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? What are you asking me for, knowing that the Lord is now become your enemy? He's against you. He's departed from you. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. All right, we come down to it. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. Again, this is for here. Next week, I used to say, if I don't obey God, if I don't do that. I now just usually say when. Might as well go ahead. Next week, whatever day or days that I do not obey God, that I follow my will knowingly and knowing. It's not like Samson, and it's not, certainly can't even compare it to Moses' situation. He wasn't aware. Samson wasn't aware, but it was all about him. Saul knows the Lord's departed from me, and he realized it, and he was scared. That's the way I am when I know the Lord's departed from me. How do I get back in there? And I tell you what, usually it's out of selfishness. I want to get back in that safety there. Is it because I'm all of a sudden wanting to serve him, to bow down as I should? No. It's about me. It's all about me again. And wanting to be feel that safety again. But because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. Now his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy. And I'm thankful for that in his grace. And I do feel the times, the many times, you know, I keep track of different things in my life. And I know a lot of preachers will keep a record of, well, who all have I baptized? What funerals have I performed, and weddings and so forth? And if I sat down and tried to record every time I had to make a correction, use that discipline to be a better disciple, then I don't know how many. I have notebooks this big of my grandfather, Ral, where he wrote poetry and scriptural notes and so forth. He was a big, he'd write on everything, envelopes and stuff. Wrote many of the poems. That last song we sang, when he wrote that song, was my grandfather, not my father. My notebooks would be, the ink would fill the sea. There's a song about that, talking about Jesus Christ. If I wrote down every time I had to make a correction in my life, because it's constant. That is a blessed work in our lives. We must do that in dealing with ourselves, dealing with our spouses, dealing with brothers and sisters, dealing with the church. And the whole time we should pray that we be like Moses, that when we've done something and actually been blessed to do it, that we're not even aware. Our face is shining, and this service, sacrificial service to God that I performed, many times we shouldn't even realize it, and no one else. But it's done, and Jesus Christ is glorified and honored for it. That's what we should aspire to be. Not that I make sure I dusted every one of these windowsills this week, and nobody saw me do it. I better let someone know about that. No, we don't do that. It just gets done. I've found that. Sometimes I'll either run into people out here as people are coming and going and getting things done. Other times I'll come and you can say, oh, wait, this was done and that was done. I don't have a clue who did it. And other times I maybe can figure it out, but it doesn't matter. It gets done. I hope he doesn't mind. I would like to use just real quickly as an example, Brother Timothy. He mows the playground and out front here, where Trevor Direction is on those hills. He mows those with the push mower and all. But in doing that, yes, it gets done, and I'm thankful for that. It looks nice, and it should. We should care about. I'll go back to Haggai next Sunday and preach on our sealed houses when the house of God is falling down around us, and where we need to consider your ways. But in doing that, in mowing that, you know, well, that's not much. I don't know how long it takes. I guess I've done it too, and all, and it's kind of nice. It gives you time to think, you know, out there as you're walking along, just mowing, pushing a mower, and all, but. Number eight, it does so much. It teaches the younger ones that by some magic, that doesn't just get done. This lawn out here, Brother Gerald, you know, he knows that the little lawn fairies aren't just coming out here overnight and getting that done. It takes someone to do it. It takes someone to do. You look around at things that have to get done, and someone has done it, and we may never know. And think, well, that's not, and they just come out. Anyway, I think of things and stories, and I think, no, not going to go there. Here, Saul knew that the Lord had departed from him. That's so he reacted accordingly. He was fearful. Samson didn't realize. He didn't know the Lord had departed from him. He wasn't aware of that. Self-aware. Saul was. Moses, he wasn't aware that his face shone of what this miraculous thing that just took place. And that's what I want. And certainly a church, you talk about things working like clockwork and all, and they don't always. In a church, it's made up. This church, the church, is made up of sinners. And we have to, who are constantly disciplining themselves, making corrections, course corrections, and learning more and all. But it flows smoothly. It has, and we have told you all in the renovation of this building after that, the water that got in here and so forth, and where we have opportunities, so we have to replace carpet and certain things. Other things we don't have to do, but we're going to do it. This is an opportunity to do it and all that, and to give us ideas. It has amazed me of all, I guess it shouldn't, but all of the good ideas that have come out that I had not thought of and all that that have been suggested. And so, but if prayerfully, as a church, we work together in all that, certainly in the service, in the worship service we do. And God can bless that. He will override us. He will override what I want to do, because that does not matter in the least. It's what God wants. What he not want, that's a bad word. He didn't want for anything. What he has a desire for us to do, we try to follow God's will in that. And then we look back and see, well, my goodness, I guess we did. That just worked out. And so many issues I see coming right at me, like a train's lights. I think maybe it's a light at the end of the tunnel. No, it's in the tunnel and the train's coming right at me. And all. And then pretty soon I realize, well, that just got settled. God took care of that. And in that, I think, okay, then I need to keep on that trajectory. I need to keep praying that God would guide us in our work in the church and out of the church as well. And that we would be as Moses was, as we are disciples of Christ, learners and pupils and followers, that we use the gospel being preached to learn that. That's the way Jesus Christ set it up, that we would learn those things. And, well, the preacher doesn't always talk about or preach about what I'm wanting to learn about. Well, I've heard many times that he does, and that's miraculous. But then it comes around many times. Other times it doesn't. So there's different ways to do that. The preacher doesn't always know what message you need, but God does, and he'll supply it. Maybe even more so when you need it than when I think I need it right now. Now I want to close with a proverb. In Proverbs, the third chapter of Proverbs. Just a few verses. I'm just going to start at chapter 3 of Proverbs, first verse, and go down to what I want. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So in those few verses there, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, always acknowledge him. If you're interpreting scripture, if this way gives more credit to man, and this way, this application gives more praise, honor, and credit to God Almighty, that's the way you go. That's the way you go. You use that as the foundation. Also, in actions, in our lives, if we acknowledge him, then he'll direct our paths. He'll direct us the right way. Now, he's directing me over here, and I'm wandering over here. And I know it when I do it. But I have seen, certainly we've seen the first part of this year, seen chaos and turmoil and all. We're reminded of so many things, but I've seen so much peace and comfort and uplifting from God in my life. You know, I can't speak to you unless you've told me, but I personally, I have. I felt that. And it's like, okay, I don't want to mess anything up. I want to continue in that. And so we acknowledge him. He directs our paths. And he'll bless us. He'll bless us as a church here and now because of Ephesians chapter 2. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church for membership. If you have a desire this morning, let us know.